Harson or Freeze, which one was worse? What's up, everyone? My name is Hunter Bussey. Next to me is Graham McLean. And no, your eyes do not deceive you. I am back, still alive, but barely breathing. Let's just hop right into it, Graham. We had this discussion, kind of off stream, but we also saw it, or I guess you saw it this morning on X. Someone had put a poll up
on X. I saw it yesterday for the first time, and I forgot to like save it. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's a really good post. And then I was scrolling back on X this morning, just kind of looking around, seeing if there's anything interesting. And I was like, oh my God, this is perfect.
So, yeah. And it's a good conversation because it's like, if you compare the two and the chaos that has ensued the past 5 years, it's hard to put a finger on which was worst. And I know that some people are like, well, this, Harson is worse. Freeze is worse. But they put a poll up, and I think you have a screenshot of said poll that was put up per Auburn Central at AUB Aub Central on X. Here's a good question for the Auburn family. Which era was more painful? Honestly, I think I'm choosing the later option. And he put up the poll, Freeze or Harson, and 63.3% picked Freeze when 36.7% picked Harson. So that just leaves us to discuss, and you in the chat and those in the comments if you're watching this later, or if you're listening to us on podcast format. Which era was worse, Hugh Freeze or Brian Harson?
Real quick. I forgot to bring this up. Happy NFL draft day. The first overall pick is probably on the clock right now. The draft starts at 7 p.m., which is, now.
Yeah, right now.
And so congratulations to Fernando Mendoza on being the first pick into the Raiders.
If it's not Fernando Mendoza, then I'd be shocked. So
then I'll delete this episode and this will never air. I'm just kidding. It will be Fernando Mendoza.
Yeah, so. it will be. I'm hoping Keldrick Falk will go to. I've been seeing some new mock drafts. The latest one,
dude. I've seen him going from like 12 overall to the second round. So,
yeah.
I think he'll be late first round. If I had to guess,
yeah.
I saw I've seen him going to the Panthers. I've seen him going to the Dolphins. I've seen him going to the Cowboys. The Cowboys, if they could take him at 20, that is a possibility. They need an edge rusher.
Yeah. In a way the Niners because Bosa stays hurt all the time. So
I've also seen that the Cowboys, trade away. They have the 12 and 20 pick. Both of those away and take the number 3 overall, which would be interesting. But anyway, back to what we were talking about.
Yeah. Back to the topic. So Freeze or Harson, which one was worse? Graham, I throw it to you.
There's no hesitation here. It's the Freeze era, 100%, 100%, without hesitation. I will say that 1,000% of the time, and let me explain why. Both eras put Auburn at rock bottom, both of them.
Right.
They were different types of rock bottom, but both of them brought Auburn to their lowest points of all time. The Freeze era, though, is different because Hugh Freeze could recruit so well.
Mm-hmm.
So he was bringing in talent, bringing in 5-star players. He brought in Cam Coleman. He brought in multiple defensive studs. He couldn't win a football game. And that, to me, is so much more frustrating than the other option of Brian Harson, because Harson just didn't recruit. So you put two and two together, the most obvious answer is, yeah, you're not going to win football games because you aren't recruiting players. He just expected that, I'm coaching at Auburn. Players are going to want to come play for me. It's Auburn. Well, yeah, to an extent, some players will just want to play at Auburn.
Yeah.
But you have to recruit guys and be like, this is why we need you. This is why I want you. And just the other day at the tailgate, someone came up to me and was talking about, they used to work for the recruiting, part of game days where they're ambassadors that kind of show recruits around. He told me a story about Harson, about what he did with a player one time. And it just was what? Not recruiting at all. He just walked up to him, said, we need you, turned around and then left. That was the extent of the interaction the whole time. You're not going to recruit kids like that. But back to what I was saying, just the fact that Hugh Freeze was able to recruit and bring in top talent and make us be like, dude, like we're back. Like Auburn's back. We've got the talent. We've got the guys. Let's do this. And Freeze's argument, you know, going into his time here at Auburn was give me 2 years and I'll have a product ready to win on the field. Because when he got to Auburn, and I remember his first year, the roster was horrid. Yeah, and that was the remains of a Harsin roster. And so Freeze came in and was like, give me a couple years to recruit some top talent and we're going to start rolling. Well, guess what? We gave him that time. He did recruit top talent and it never accounted to wins on the field. He couldn't win even with the players that he brought in. So to me, that is why the Hugh Freeze era was so much more painful, because we legit had the talent there and we couldn't do anything with it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm going to say the Freeze era was pretty bad overall. I think it was worse than Harsin's. With Harsin, if you look at it's a two-sided coin, okay? And I know I say that a lot. Okay, I'm sure somebody's typing away right now. Like, you keep saying that too much. Well, it is. Harsin was able to do more with a less talented roster. And that's saying a lot, because you had a freshman Bo Nix who was okay, but he was running for his life because the offensive line was terrible. You had Jarquez Hunter, who was probably to me the best player on the team at the time.
Well, Harsin didn't really get the. Are you talking about Freeze or Harsin?
Harsin. I'm talking about Harsin.
Harsin really didn't even get the fruit of Jarquez Hunter. I mean,
no,
he was more of the coach for Tank Bigsby, which is crazy to think about. But like,
right.
He really was with Tank, and then Bo was a sophomore, I think, his Harsin's first year, because I think we fired Bo's freshman year, or
and then he transferred.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah, you're right, because we had freshman Bo Nix with Gus. That's right, and then sophomore Bo Nix with Harsin, and then Harsin. Yeah, it was just a mess. I think I'm trying to think. I feel like
I'm trying to think because we fired me up. We fired Gus in 2020. So actually that would have been Bo's sophomore year. So it was his junior year he transferred. Yeah. And then he played two more. Yeah, okay. So he transferred his junior year after his junior year, because he played 2 years under Gus, 1 year under Harsin, transferred out, and then played at Oregon for 2 years, I think. So he ultimately played five, but that was the timeline.
I just think that and it's crazy to think about that Brian Harsin has a better win percentage than Hugh Freeze. I never thought I'd say that. And you look at the facts and it's bad.
He played a harder schedule. He was still playing the Ole Misses and, he played Ole Miss. LSU. He was playing the LSUs. Like I'm pretty sure we beat Ole Miss at Ole Miss. Under Harsin, I feel like we did, and so we all. Harsin also beat LSU in Death Valley for the first time in like 25 years.
Mm-hmm. So I remember that play too, because that was the play that Bo Nix like used his legs, and that he threw it like I'm talking the last second. He had about five dudes from LSU just like swarming.
He ran both directions of the field. He ran all the way to the far right, then ran back all the way to the far left, and then chucked one down the field and caught it for a touchdown. But kind of what you're saying, Harsin. The football product that Harsin put out wasn't as bad. It was just the fact that there wasn't any talent to do it. Like he focused too much on the football side and not the recruiting side, where, your football product might have not been that bad, but at the end of the day, it didn't matter because you didn't have the players to do it. And the quarterback position under Harsin for, his second half of his second year wasn't a good situation. We were running a dual quarterback system with Robbie Ashford and TJ Finley. And that's, in my opinion, a dual quarterback system is poised for failure 99% of the time.
I agree with you 100%. It and plus too, like Robbie Ashford had the talent in terms of being able to run the football, but as far as throwing, it was not there. TJ Finley
he couldn't throw a ball, save his life. That's why he came in. That's why it was so predictable when he came in the game. They put him in the game in like goal line positions or short down, short yardage. Like, oh, I wonder what he's going to do. What's he going to do? He's going to run the freaking ball every time. Like, that was the only thing he did. He just was snap, take that ball, and go.
Yeah, run Robbie right, run Robbie left, run Robbie up the middle, run Robbie over the top. That was the offense. But, I think overall, if you just you know, if you're looking at the two, Freeze was definitely worse. I agree, because you had people like Cam Coleman, like Eric Singleton, you had who else? Malcolm Simmons, people like that on the offense, and you couldn't.
You had Deuce Knight and Ashton Daniels sitting on the bench for the whole year.
Oh my God, to dude wipes. Oh my God, don't even. It's crazy. That's what's like. And Hugh Freeze was more worried about, because here's the difference between Freeze and Harsin. Freeze could recruit, yes. Harsin never did, but Harsin was always like in the football facility, I felt like, compared to Freeze, where he was like on the back nine like every other day. You know what I mean? And he was making the, you know, well, I'm recruiting. Okay. What about game days when it matters? You know what I mean? Like we're going out there losing to Kentucky, Missouri, their coaches are waving the towel in their student, you know, in their fan section. Like Jordan Hare, as far as like an environment to play football in, I still think is one of the hardest places to play in the SEC.
100%.
No doubt in my mind. But
we just need a good coach.
Yeah, with Hugh Freeze last year, it turned into a joke, an absolute joke.
Everyone beat us in Jordan Hare. Kentucky basically shut us out in Jordan Hare. Like, it's so frustrating because I agree with you. Like, Jordan Hare is one of, if not the hardest places to play in all of college sports.
Yeah.
But when you have a coach that was so like incompetent about what you were, like what the product was on the field, then the stadium doesn't matter at that point. Like if your offense, because it wasn't a defensive problem, that wasn't the issue. We were holding teams to not a ton of points. The stadium isn't a factor on the offense. You know, like the environment in Jordan Hare isn't going to change the outcome of the game because it's silent on offense because you're trying to score. So the problem was the offense. So yeah, Jordan Hare might have been a hard place to play and our defense might have done a good job, but that doesn't matter when the offense can't get three first downs in the game.
Yeah, no, I agree. And two, like, and I ragged on Cam Coleman a couple episodes ago, but you had a generational talent come through at Auburn at wide receiver, right? And we were consistently the routes we would put him on that we would draw up for him, he was double teamed on every time and we're still throwing it to him. And I'm like, Hugh, that's not going to work. We need to run the ball more. We need to run the ball more.
Put him on go routes. And
we would never, like, we would never use our strong suits with Hugh Freeze because, again, very incompetent human being of a coach. He got there and he just like, all right, I'm good. I got my dream job. I'm good.
Or like,
I'm not going to coach anymore. I'm going to recruit, but I ain't going to coach no more.
We showed, like, for example, it was Hughes the year before he got fired, but we showed like glimpses of oh my gosh, finally he listened. We're going to run the ball. And we did against Kentucky, and Jarquez Hunter had like 300 yards rushing in a game. Mm-hmm. Then quite literally like 2 weeks later, in the time where we needed to run the ball, Hughes sits Jarquez Hunter and was like, yeah, he just seemed tired. And I was like, are you kidding me right now?
Oh my God.
like in the moment that we need our best player, our best player on the team at the point, it was not even a question. Jarquez Hunter was the best player on Auburn football then. And he seemed tired and he needed to take a break.
Yeah. Right. My thing is too, like if you were to go into a game and you were looking for a leader, I think Brian Harsin was a better leader than Hugh Freeze. I don't care. That speech that he gave, you know, where it's like, you know, people climb to the top of that stadium and drive from wherever, hours away, to watch your tail play. Cool. But that was against, like, South Alabama. Okay, no shade to South Alabama, but South Alabama. That's a speech you give, like, before, like, the Iron Bowl or the Georgia game or an Ole Miss, LSU, you name it. At least, like, Brian Harsin had leadership qualities. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to say Saban qualities, but like the, you know, stoic. He just seems stoic compared to Hugh Freeze.
A lot of players like him.
Yeah. You would look at that, and then you look at Hugh Freeze, who'd show up on a press conference Monday looking like he'd been on an all-night bender, you know what I mean? And like all swollen up and everything. Like he had just woke up like 10 minutes before he walked out there to sit down, by the way. And I remember that one game, I think it was like after Kentucky, I don't know if you remember this, where they set a podium up and they made him stand up. You remember that? That to me just told me everything I need to know. If you compare apples and oranges, Brian Harsin was a better coach, and that's saying a lot. Hugh Freeze was very weak, incompetent, on and off the field. Plain and simple. yes, he could recruit. That's it, though. That's it.
Yeah.
And he had his other off the field struggles too, that, you know, hopefully he got over, but apparently not, if you've kept up with recent headlines. So that's just me, though. Harsin's not clean either, but in terms of, like, if I had to pick one or the other, I'd go with Harsin every day. So that's just me. But yeah, that's all I have on that.
Yeah. So, I mean, before we move on, let's give a quick shout out to
AUShirts.com. Get all your gear from all the shows at the barn. You see the shirts and hoodies and the hat on your screen. We have some other hats as well, some mugs, and also potentially some social hour merch we are still working on, but we are going to have it up soon. We're adding new styles weekly. So again, go to AUShirts.com and show your support for your favorite shows on the barn. I'm still waiting on that FE t-shirt that you see there in navy. I want that real bad. If you know, you know what that means. Shout out Coach Golish. But yeah, again, aushirts.com to get all your gear from all your favorite shows on thebarn.com. We also have another sponsor as well.
Boom. That's right. Head over to buyauburn.com. Be who you say you are and do business with Auburn people everywhere, all over the country. If you're an Auburn business owner, head over to buyauburn.com and sign up today to get your business on there so that other Auburn fans can show up and support you. And if you're just, you know, someone looking to shop anything, then go to buyauburn.com and see if what you need is on there. There's all types of things like real estate agents, insurance, you know, there's even a deer feed on there. So head over to buyauburn.com today, see if there's anything you need to purchase. And if there is, then go purchase it from buyauburn.com.
Yeah. I know I say it every time, but I love that it's just an index for like companies, stores, restaurants, bars, real estate offices, you name it, that are owned by Auburn people everywhere. So again, buyauburn.com. I love it. Love the concept. If you're looking for something like we've used the example before, if you're like going to Atlanta and you want to go hang out at like a sports bar or something, and you find it on buyauburn.com that there is an Auburn owned sports bar in Atlanta before the Auburn Baylor game, go support them, go check them out. So again, that's buyauburn.com. It's a really cool spot. But
last few minutes of the show,
I
kind of want to bring up something because it was so cool. It happened this morning.
Yeah, and what's funny is I got a text about it. My sister was like, hey, this happened in Auburn. And I'm like, what do you mean? And she sent me a video that her friend took, and I'm thinking, why? And then I saw their angles. I'm like, oh, wow, okay, this is sick.
So I'll kind of give it some backstory because I've kind of kept up with it the last couple of days because I saw something about it. But, okay, so basically it is this week is the last week of class at Auburn. Final start next week for, you know, the end of the year. And
shout out to all the students.
Yeah, shout out to all the students. Hope you're doing well. I know this is a rough week. But, so the other day, they sent out a thing. And it's like the Blue Angels. And if you don't know what the Blue Angels are, it is a showcase of America's F-18 fighter jets. They are the top of the top. Like pilots, they do tricks and show all these crazy stunts with these F-18 fighter jets.
Yeah, very professional.
They're insane. It's insane. If you ever get a chance to see the Blue Angels in person, I highly suggest it. They're
please unreal. Do.
So they're based out of Pensacola, Florida. Mm-hmm. And so for some reason, it sounds like one of the pilots might have been an Auburn grad, but they decided, like, hey, let's just boost morale at Auburn this week. Let's just fly over the campus twice for fun. And that's exactly what they did. And so we've got two clips here, and then I got a photo I want to show as well, which is just unreal. So
yeah,
I'll show this first one that's from a little bit of a distance, but then the second one is just a beautiful shot of Auburn. Yep. And you'll see why. That's clip number one. Now this clip, bro.
I think this is from my shot of it.
It was the most Auburn thing ever. But check it out. And for those listening, you come check out the visual part of the show. But It is the Blue Angels in formation flying over Sanford Hall in downtown Auburn. It is just unbelievable. And I got a picture of it too that somebody sent me.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It's just unbelievable.
That right there will make you want to stand up, salute, and say, America, hell yeah. That is beautiful patriotism right there in its purest form.
It was such a cool thing for Auburn students to experience. I mean, as someone who I'm an aviation lover, I mm-hmm. love everything about aviation.
Yeah, same.
It's just such an incredible thing to witness in person, and it's super awesome that Auburn students got to experience that, because the Blue Angels are a worldwide known, you know, group. So
can you play the clip from Sanford Hall again, just real quick.
You know what would have been even cooler? If they had red, white, and blue smoke. Like, the left two had red, the middle two had had white, and then the right two had blue. Because it's six, so it would have been, like, red, white, blue. Or if they had orange and blue smoke, that would be really cool, too.
Yeah, fine. I'll go watch Top Gun 1 and 2 again. Fine.
And they're making another one, which I'm so excited about. Top Gun Maverick's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, the second one is really good.
I think I'd put it at 2 right now.
Really? Okay.
It was at 1, and then Project Hail Mary started to exist.
That's fair. Oh,
sorry.
That's fair. I'm a little side note, because we always like to geek out on here. I am seeing Michael Jackson this weekend.
I'm going to be so honest, and I might get some hate for this. I don't care about that movie at all.
That's so crazy.
I will not see it. I honestly refuse to see it. I was like that. It's kind of like, I don't care enough. Like, I don't want to see it at all.
That's so hurtful. See, my dad, like, that was the music that we would listen to on the way to, like, Little League, was Michael Jackson. It just was, or Upward Basketball, you name it, when I was a child.
I just never cared enough about Michael Jackson and his music. I just didn't. He's got some good music, but I don't get the hype around it. He's got some good music, but, like,
the King of Pop. Laid the foundation for what music is today. And it's not in
people. Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know if he laid the foundation for what music.
Pop music? For pop music, yes.
About that.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That's a debate for another show.
Call me a Michael Jackson hater. I don't care. I've never understood the unbelievable hype around Michael Jackson. Like, the crazy hype around him. I just don't get it.
What do you think of Elvis Presley?
Same thing. I don't get it. He's got good music, but, like, I don't care. I just don't care.
We're ending the show. If you like what you see here, please subscribe to The Barn Auburn, and you can check out other podcasts like the one you're listening to now, The Barn Social Hour. Also, check out the other podcasts like the Top Button Podcast with Charlie Five, aka Kyle Rush. It's been a minute.
Let me say this. I also think the same thing about the Beatles. I don't care about.
Oh my God! Check out Village Vice with Zach Blackerby and Brad Law, and The Baseball Show with Lindsey Crosby, Brad Law, and occasionally Sonny DeShera. That is blasphemous. Blasphemous. That is insane. That is nuts. Again, check us out at thebarn.com. As always, War Damn, and we will see you next time.
If you want to come after me in the comments, that's fine. I don't care.